Hello friends, this is Doug Batchelor. How about an amazing fact? For about 500 years, the Roman Empire was the undisputed military powerhouse that conquered most of the Western world. This was in part due to their heavy investment in their military and war machines. Today, there are about 195 countries in the world, and most spend something on their military budget. Of all these countries, however, the United States of America spends the most, taking up to 42% of the world's military expenditures. In other words, almost half of the world's military investment is made by one country. In fact, if you added up all the military budgets of Europe, China, Russia, Japan, the Middle East, Australia, East Asia, and Latin America, you would still have a sum less than what the United States spends on its armed forces. For example, just in 2009, the United States spent $607 billion on the military, whereas the country in second place, China, spent only $85 billion. No wonder the United States remains, by far, the most powerfully armed nation on Earth, and the world's only military superpower. The book of Revelation, chapter 13, identifies two beasts in the last days that will try to compel a uniform international worship. It'll certainly require a large military to enforce this. Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live, brought to you by Amazing Facts Ministries. Are you looking for a clear, concise answer to your most challenging Bible questions? Maybe you're struggling to understand difficult passages of Scripture. If so, you've come to the right place. Join us now as we open God's Word to discover His will and find honest, practical answers to your Bible-related questions. This broadcast is pre-recorded. If you have a Bible question, call us Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, let's join our host, author, speaker, and evangelist, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Hello, listening friends, and welcome once again to Bible Answers Live. This is, in my estimation, one of the very best ways to use this medium of radio to talk about the Word of God. And if you have any Bible questions, you can participate in tonight's program. We have lines open right now, so pick up your phone and call that toll-free number. The acronym is 800-GOD-SAYS, or you can dial 800-463-7297 with your Bible questions. My name is Doug Batchelor, and Pastor John Ross, our co-host, is right now on an airplane for England. At least he should be, because that's where I'm heading tomorrow. As we told our friends last week, we're beginning on Wednesday evening a live broadcast from England called Streams of Light, and we'll be broadcasting on television on 3ABN, as well as lifestyle television all over the world, as well as streaming on the internet. And if you'd like to see more information on this, just simply go to amazingfacts.tv. You'll see the information on the Streams of Light program, and we'd encourage you to tune into this live revival broadcast. But I wanted to be with you tonight, so I'm actually leaving one day later than Pastor Ross so we could do tonight's program. And before we go to the amazing fact and the questions for tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we're very thankful once again to be able to come before you and to seek your face and to seek to better know the truth. Be with us now as we meet to discuss the principles of the Word. We pray that the Spirit will be evident in both the questions that are asked and especially the answers that are given. And ultimately, we pray that you are glorified and your truth is exalted as a result. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, at the beginning of the program, I talked a little bit about the military budget of the United States, which it actually surprised me. I knew that we probably invested the most, but I didn't know it was so much more. Just take, for example, what I was sharing just this year, even with the financial, international meltdown that's been going on, America still has committed $607 billion on our military. Whereas China, which is second place of all the countries in the world, only is putting in $85 billion. Now, I wouldn't want to match forces man for man with China. They obviously have a bigger army. But America really invests heavily in the military technology. And the Bible tells us in the last days that there is going to be a superpower that will link together with a religious influence and compel international worship on pains of not being able to buy or sell, that'd be economic sanctions, and ultimately on pain of death. You can find reference to that in Revelation chapter 13, where it talks about this second beast that comes up out of the earth with two horns like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. I believe that beast is the United States of America. Starts out a lamb-like beast. A lamb in prophecy is a type of Christ, the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. But a dragon in Revelation is consistently a diabolical symbol, meaning that this country that was built on Christian foundations is going to begin to speak like a dragon, legislate things that should not be. If you'd like to know more, and believe me, friends, I love my country. I have no plans on moving right now, but I know what prophecy says. But if you want to know more about what the Bible says about America in prophecy, you really need to just make this free phone call and ask for tonight's offer. That number now, this is the number for tonight's free offer, the USA in Bible Prophecy, is 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. And if you pulled out your pencil to write that down, also might want to write down amazingfacts.tv to get that information on our live broadcast from the London area. We'll be in England, called Streams of Light. Begins on Wednesday evening. Well, it's evening in England. It'll be broadcast on 3ABN, a couple of different broadcasts each day. And if you miss a program, you can download the programs at the AmazingFacts.tv website. And tell your friends as well. We all need revival. Well, we're going to go to the phones, and we've got a few people who are patiently waiting already. Going to start out by talking with Mark, who's calling from Knoxville, Tennessee, listening on WITA. Welcome, Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah. Do you believe it's possible for a person to believe that Christ might not return for thousands of years and still be a Christian?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what would be the dilemma for me is that even though no man knows the day or the hour, I would think that a person's reading of the word is suspect. Now, they may be a Christian. I wouldn't want to stand in judgment that they couldn't be a Christian and still believe that the second coming was maybe a millennia away. But when Jesus said, you know, you'll see certain signs in the last days that are very profound, and we're seeing these signs, and even if a person were to, heaven forbid, lay the Bible aside, if you look at the evidence in the world today, the idea that the way we're destroying the earth, and with the exponential explosion of technology, and the weapons that we've devised, the idea that Christ wouldn't come for 1,000 years is almost inconceivable.
Haven't we had signs for a long, long time, like the greatest earthquake ever in history happened almost 500 years ago?
We haven't had signs, Mark, like we had. For instance, there's been no other time in the history of man, where, of course, people have gone into space. There's been no other time in the history of man where man has had weapons that could destroy the entire planet. There's been no other time except this generation in the history of man where we've cut down half the vegetation. And I'm not an environmentalist, but it does say in Revelation 16, God will destroy those that destroy the earth. Well, we're doing that. And Christ said, except those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. No flesh means no life.
You think it could be 50 years away?
Well, you know, I don't want to get into setting dates. My personal opinion is it's this generation. I don't know what the date is. I think that the movie that's out right now, 2012, is highly suspect. It's based on the Mayan calendar, and I've been to Belize and talked to Mayans, and they're just laughing right now. It's a movie stunt. But there's hundreds of Mayan calendars. So my belief is not based on that. It's based on the evidence Christ gives. He says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your head and know that your redemption draws near. We are seeing these signs. And you know what another profound sign is, Mark? And I'll just add this, and I'll probably need to move on to another call. The nation of Israel, the Jews themselves, are really a fascinating sign. Because here you've got a nation that has been dispossessed twice from their nation, from their own territory. Once back in the days of Babylon, then they came back again. They remained a distinct people with their own language And then they were carried off again by the Romans and scattered around the world. And then in 1948, they reassembled the same culture, same language, same religion in their original land. That's not happened with any other country in the world, and yet the Lord said that it would happen to the Jews. That, to me, is very compelling truth, or evidence for the truth of prophecy. Mark, we do have a lesson that deals more specifically with the signs that the Bible gives us of the second coming of Jesus, and we'll be happy to send you a copy of that. And it's a lesson that deals with the ultimate deliverance. It's called The Ultimate Deliverance. And if you call the toll-free number, 800-835-6747, we'll be happy to send you a free copy of this lesson on the Second Coming. And it goes through some of the modern signs that that coming is near. Thank you for your call. We're going to go and talk next with Joel, who's calling from San Antonio, Texas, on the Internet. Joel, you're on the air.
Hey, Pastor. It's an honor to speak with you. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question about young earth, the whole Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and it does seem to me, and I've heard you speak about this, biblically sound, and I've gotten this as a question back when I've discussed that with people. They'll say, and I'm curious to see what you have to say about that, that with the evidence that we have in the fossils that are in the mountains, I've heard you mention that. What is it, like oysters and other sea life? Is it a possibility that that could just be over years the bumping heads of the crust and it being uprooted? Are you following me? Like coming?
Yeah,
up
the tectonic right? plates of the world have lifted up. And you know, I should add, Joel, that geologists and archaeologists and even evolutionists have done some incredible research. And I agree with some research that they've done. What they've done is they've observed some things. They've got all this evidence, and then it's like a puzzle. Since there's nobody that was, you know, alive 6,000 years ago, all we can do, really, since there's no written history beyond 4,000 years, we pretty much need to just look at what's in the ground and try and piece it together like a jigsaw puzzle. And they, if anything is evolving, it is the science of evolution. Their theories change every few years. But I do believe and have believed that the tectonic plates of the world went through major, massive shifting. What I disagree with is the time spans that they attribute to that. I think that there was absolutely catastrophic changes in the planet during the time of the flood, and that's when these mountain ranges were formed and the oysters that had fossilized on the seabed were pushed up. And there's even a verse in the Bible where it talks about in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided, and there were still, you know, earthquakes and volcanoes and things going on shortly after the flood.
So the evidence, the fact itself that the fossils are in the mountains, would you say that's a good concrete evidence that the earth was flooded, or could it be explained away with this tectonic plates?
Well, you know, I think the best evidence is for the earth being flooded is all the research paleontologists have done. For years, they argued, well, the dinosaurs died out slowly over millions of years. But every time they found dinosaurs, they were covered in mud, sometimes piles of them all swept up together. They finally looked at each other and said, look, we have to admit that some massive flood killed all the dinosaurs. And so the next theory was an asteroid must have hit the Earth and caused a tsunami that was global.
Right, and it was an instant global flood.
So they already agree that there was a universal flood of some sort. They think that some asteroid hit where the Gulf of Mexico is and wiped out everything except a few mammal-like creatures that were at these higher elevations. But the fossil record's very clear. There was a catastrophic global flood.
Would you then say that from a beginning dog-like animal that in the span of 4,000, 6,000 years, we got anywhere from the range of a Great Dane and a Chihuahua? Is that possible that can happen in that short of time?
Well, we know that. I forget what issue it is, but if you go to the National Geographic website, they show you all their covers. One of their covers a couple of years ago is titled From Wolf to Woof, like woof woof for a dog. And it shows a picture of a wolf-like dog on the cover next to a chihuahua or some little amalgamated dog. And they said that the DNA history is very exact, that all of the dogs that exist in the world today, all the different breeds and variety, can be traced back to two original wolf-like dogs. Well, that's what Noah brought on the ark.
Possible.
Excuse me?
Possible in 6,000 years?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. No question, this can happen very rapidly. Let me just give you a quick example. Just since the 1700s, someone brought a handful of rabbits to Australia. It was a big mistake. They completely spread across the continent, and a new variety of rabbit developed because of the environment that they were breeding in and the small gene pool they had to work with. So we've observed massive expansion and multiplication of species in 100 years. 6,000 years is plenty of time for all the variety of dogs we have.
Thank you very much.
All right. Hey, I appreciate that, and good question, Joel. Talking next with Sandra, calling from Illinois, listening on WDQN. Welcome, Sandra. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor. God bless and thank you, and I hope Streams of Light is truly awesome for everybody.
Well, you pray for me. Pray for me as I prepare.
Okay, I will. Can you tell me Bible text for a very precious, sincere couple, but they called Jesus Yeshua HaMashiach, and they're still doing the Feast of Tabernacles, and I know Christ met and took care of all that, but I don't know how to explain it or even how to look up which words in the Bible to give them the text so that they know.
Well, you know, one of the best things I could do for you, rather than try to give you a litany of scriptures right now, is to send you a book that's already filled with them for free. Matter of fact, you can read it for free online. Don't even have to wait for me to send it. It's a book written by Joe Cruz called Feast Days and Sabbaths. And I know there's a lot of dear Christians out there that are mixed up, and they think that it's somehow sacrilegious if we call Jesus Jesus. They think we need to pronounce his name in Hebrew. And so they've retranslated their Bible. So every time the word Lord appears, it's Yahweh. Or, yeah, whenever it's Jesus, it's Yahshua. God never requires us to speak in any other language than our native tongue. I mean, he can give us the gift of tongues if he wants. So, you know, and those who think we need to keep these shadows of the feast days, it's really sad. The Bible, the New Testament, is very clear that these were ceremonial laws. This is exactly what Paul is talking about when he talks about the Sabbaths that were nailed to the cross. It was the annual Jewish feast days. So, anyway, we'll send you a free copy of the book. And,
oh, that's okay. I'll go online.
Or go online and go to, when you go to the Amazing Facts website, just amazingfacts.org, you'll say, we made it real simple. It says free stuff. And when you click on free stuff, it'll say sermon books. Click on sermon books and you'll see the book Feast Days and Sabbaths there.
Thanks, Pastor. God bless.
All right. God bless, Sandra. And of course, that's true for anybody out there listening. If you'd like to get a copy of that, then you can just request that. Going to speak next with Derek, listening on the internet, calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Welcome, Derek. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Doug. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Okay, my question is about the Holy Spirit. How do you know when it's really talking to you? Let's say somebody like suffers from OCD, and they hear these voices saying, oh, do this, you know, and good things will happen to you. I mean, and then I was thinking about Abraham. I mean, that was such a wacky...
When the voice told him to sacrifice his son, how did he know that was the Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. The way I'd answer that is, when my wife calls me and I'm out of town, and she says, hi, I don't need her to even say a whole sentence. I am so familiar with her voice that, you know, one or two words and I've got her voice. Abraham was in such constant communion with the Lord, and when the Lord had directed him all through his life, whether that direction came from getting up and leaving Ur, or going down to Egypt, or he had a lot of guidance through his life. When he received word from the Lord, everything about all the evidence about his communication with God, the internal, the spirit evidence, they didn't have a Bible back then, so he couldn't pick up a Bible and say, what does the word say about this? But just the frequency that God always spoke to him on, he knew the Lord was telling him to do this.
Like, and it was like a powerful experience, like he'd actually see God in light, or was it just in his head?
Well, there were times that Abraham did see the Lord face to face. The Bible tells us that. He was the friend of God. God appeared to him once, and he spoke to him as he spoke to a friend. So on this occasion, though, it says the Lord spoke to him. I don't know that he saw God when he asked him to take his son. Now, you asked another question about how do you know it's not the spirit of the devil, or how do you know if it's
thinking,
the Holy
Spirit? I was thinking, what if there's something kind of positive? Like, let's say that, you know, if somebody feels, oh, I should give every paycheck to the offering plate because, you know, this force is telling me I should do that. And in reality, it wouldn't really be, I mean, I guess a person could do that, but...
Well, you know, there are folks who, they're either because of some chemical imbalance or their conscience is hypersensitive. Some people have confused their own impulses for not only the Spirit of God. Some have confused their own impulses for some, you know, the devil's telling me to do this and that. It may not even be the devil. Some people psychologically aren't balanced, and we've all run into that. So a person needs to measure these impressions by the Word. There will never be a contradiction between the leading of the Spirit and the speaking of the Word. When you look in the Bible, God's Word is not going to ever say something contrary. And so, you know, God is always going to be very clear. And then the Lord wants us to use common sense and good judgment. And sometimes if we're not sure, like Gideon, when God said, look, I want you to go fight 1,000,000 people with 300 men. He said, Lord, I got to know this is you because I don't want to kill all these people because I'm having these impressions. Do I know this is what you want? Now, of course, an angel appeared to Gideon where he could see the angel. But he threw that fleece out before the Lord. You know the story?
Sometimes it was like damp or something?
Yeah, he threw out a fleece twice. Once he said, let the dew be on the ground, but not on the fleece. He said, Lord, I need to know that this isn't a coincidence. He said, now let the dew be on the fleece and not on the ground. And God did exactly what he said 2 days in a row. And finally said, this is enough evidence. And he went into battle and he won.
Do you think that's a good policy to have, maybe to kind of question God when you're not sure?
That's a last resort. I don't think that we ought to be flipping coins and saying, now what do you want me to do? But, you know, God does have examples in the Bible where sometimes the apostles would cast lots, which is, you know, basically like throwing out a fleece or flipping a coin to try and find out who to pick or what to do.
Oh, okay.
So, but that, you know, like I said, that's a last resort. I don't recommend it. And you shouldn't be making big decisions by flipping a coin. Pray, ask for the guidance from his word. The other thing when you're making big decisions is ask for Christian counsel. Speak to somebody or people who are good Christians and get their counsel, because the Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. And if you'd like, Derek, I'll send you a copy of my recent book, How to Know the Will of God. It's just came out, How to Know the Will of God. If you call the toll-free number, 800-835-6747, we'll send you a free copy of that. Hey, thank you very much for your call, and I think I might have time for one more before I go to a break, and that's talking to George, listening in WMCA from Bronx, New York. George, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yeah, Pastor Bachelor, I have a question, right? The situation with Job, right?
Uh-huh.
Did Satan talk to God to test Job's faith?
Well, initially, God was the one who brought up Job, not Satan. God is the one who said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job?
Yeah, but my question is, does God still talk to Satan to test Christians' faith here on earth or what?
Well, yeah, in a sense, of course, there's nowhere anyone can hide from God's presence. The Bible says, you know, where can you flee from the Lord's presence? You do have that story in the book of Zechariah where it says that Satan stands to accuse Joshua the high priest before the Lord. Now, that's long after the book of Job. Satan in Revelation is called, chapter 12, the accuser of the brethren. So Satan is always, he takes prominent people that are working for the Lord, like Job was one of them, Joshua the high priest, even Paul. And whenever they fall or they fail, he likes to point his finger at them and say, see, they say they love you, but look at what they're doing. And so Satan is always the accuser of the brethren, and the devil knows that God sees and hears him every time he speaks. I don't think Satan can go to the gates of heaven like he did in the book of Job, but he is perpetually the accuser of the brethren. Does that make sense for you?
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for your question, George. I'm going to see if I can squeeze in one more here. I'm going to talk with Martin, calling from San Juan, Puerto Rico. Martin, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is, this is Martin from Puerto Rico.
Yes, sir, and you better turn your radio down. It might confuse you.
Oh.
All right, that's better. And your question?
I want to find out what does the Bible say about discipline, because I have my cousin, the two of them who are twins, and one of them is going through some problems with their mother, and sometimes the mother will want to scold them, and want to beat them with the hand. That's not good.
Well, the Bible, there's no question that God believes that we should discipline our children. You can read in Proverbs 13:24, "He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him betimes." Now, that doesn't mean you beat your children. When a parent has to resort to some sort of corporal punishment, first of all, it should never, ever be done in anger. Because God, when he punishes us, he does it, he measures it in a way where it's going to be redemptive. But if you've got little kids, and as they grow older, you've got to find other ways of disciplining them aside from spanking them. And if you're disciplining them and you're injuring them anyway, obviously, you're doing something wrong. But if you've got a little kid and you say, don't walk out into the street, a lot of people don't have fences around their house, and the kid just kind of, flips his head and walks back out in the street, you might need to paddle them on their posterior to get their attention. And you're not doing that because you're wanting to injure them, but you love them. Now, if parents become exasperated and angry and start to hit the children, that's not the way the Lord disciplines. Discipline should be given in love. Now, does that make sense?
Yep, it makes a lot of sense.
So you should always be able to pray with your children when you discipline. You got another Proverbs chapter 22:15. This, of course, is written by Solomon. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. All kids do silly things, and they push the envelope. But it says the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, when it says rod in the Bible, it doesn't mean you have a baseball bat. The rod was a figurative term that they used for discipline. It just meant discipline. It didn't mean you beat your children like you would a sheep, like a shepherd's staff. So some people have said, well, it says rod there in the Bible. Well, the rod is, Moses had a rod. The rod is all through the Bible. It represents authority and discipline. It doesn't mean you beat him with a bat. And some people have abused those verses. So anyway, I hope that helps a little bit, Martin, and we appreciate your question. So they're telling me we're just about time for a break. Yep, I thought I heard that music creeping up on us. Hey, friends, we're not going away. We're just going to catch our breath here. Matter of fact, you might want to grab a pencil because we're going to be giving you some valuable information immediately on the other side of the break. It's not too late to even pick up the telephone. Tell your friends to call in their Bible questions. We do have some lines open. So if you've got your Bible question, you want to get it into tonight's broadcast, dial that toll-free number, 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. Also, a lot more of what we offer you can find at the Amazing Facts website. It's sure easy to remember. Praise the Lord, we were able to register these websites way back when that first started happening. It's amazingfacts.com.org.tv. We're all there. Be right back.
Don't go away. There's more Bible Answers Live in just a moment. Don't forget to tune in to Pastor Doug Batchelor's weekly television broadcast, Amazing Facts Presents, which is aired on major networks including ABC Family, The Church Channel, Vision TV, and Superstation WGN. Check your local listings or contact us to find out when and on what channel the programs will be aired. Are you interested in additional Bible-based materials for further study? Consider Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course or our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Don't forget, friends, Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry, operating only by God's blessing through your prayers and financial gifts. We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. or online at amazingfacts.org. Welcome back to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. This broadcast is pre-recorded. If you have a Bible-related question, you can call us from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Sundays and receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. Call 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, please join us as we look to God's Word for more Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Welcome, listening friends. If you have joined us somewhere along the way in our broadcast, this is Bible Answers Live, and it is a live international interactive Bible study. If you've got a Bible question, you can call that toll-free number, 800-GOD-SAYS. That's an acronym for 463-7297, not to be confused with our resource line. So we give out a separate phone number that's available 24 hours a day if you would like to find out more about some of the resources that we mention during this program. And of course, there's always the website. It's simply amazingfacts.org. Something exciting going on. Not only are we on the radio, we're on the television all over the country, but we have just added, very excited, the Discover Channel. And Wednesday mornings at 7 o'clock, Amazing Facts is on the Discover Channel. And so if you go to our television log, at our website, you'll see a button there, a tab, that says television, and it'll tell you the log about what stations we're on when for your area. But we're going to go back to the phones now, and so I think next we're talking to Becky. And Becky's calling from Scottsburg, Idaho, listening on 3ABN. Becky, you're on the air.
Actually, it's Scottsburg, Indiana.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right, Doug.
I'm actually innocent. The call operator typed in, yes, Idaho. I just want to make sure that my record's clean in heaven.
That's all right. You're fine.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I have a question for you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it's verse 4 and 5, says something about whatever you eat or whatever, as long as you bless it, give thanksgiving, that it's clean.
Yeah.
Well, my aunt has been questioning, my mom and I see that right there, says that it's okay to eat pork or whatever you want to eat. As long as you bless it before God, it's okay. What can we say to her to help her to see that that's not exactly what that's talking about?
Your aunt doesn't believe that, really. Yeah, I hear people use that. Let me read the verse for everybody. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll start with verse 4. I better back up a little bit and just start with the first verse here. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Okay, right now there's a big clue. There's going to be a religious movement that would forbid people to marry. Well, there's a few big denominations that forbid their priests and pastors to marry. And commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received. They're not saying that you can eat anything or not eat anything. They're commanding people not to eat things God says you can eat in His Word. For instance, there's one church that says on certain days of the week, like Friday, you can't eat fish, even if it's clean fish. Well, the Word of God doesn't teach that. And then he goes on to say, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is, and this is verse 4, nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by, notice, the Word of God. All right, so that means the creatures that are sanctified by the Word. Some animals are sanctified by the Word as clean, and some are not. So one criteria is whatever you're going to eat better be sanctified first by the Word of God, and then it says, and prayer.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The Word of God and prayer. So, who really believes? Does your aunt have children?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Would she accept it if one of her kids getting ready for school, I don't know how old they are now, but at some point they go through those years, decides to make themselves breakfast, and they go into the freezer, and they pull out chocolate ice cream, and they start scooping chocolate ice cream, and you're watching, and then they start putting marshmallow syrup on top of the chocolate ice cream and some M&M, you know, sprinkles on there, and you're going, wait, that's not a very good breakfast. But they said, don't worry, Mom, don't worry, Dad, I'm going to pray. And the Bible says, whatever you pray over, God's going to bless. You know, the Bible calls that mocking God. Okay. What a man sows, he's going to reap. And if we know something's high in cholesterol and we think we can just pray over it and all of a sudden it's not going to hurt us anymore, that's really irresponsible. And so the idea that this verse means you pray over something and it doesn't matter what the Bible says, it doesn't matter what science says, you can eat anything that crawls across your plate. People don't believe that you can pray over a maggot and skunk sandwich and it's going to be clean. So I really am surprised when I hear people use that excuse. Well, the Bible says just pray over it.
Yeah. But see, you brought out some good points that I never saw as I was looking through there, because I read over and over, and so did my mother. But you brought out some good points as to what it is actually saying there before and right afterwards.
Well, you know, one of the
sanctified and stuff.
One of the main things Paul is dealing with in his writings about food had nothing to do with pork or chicken. It had to do with, can you eat an animal that has been offered to a pagan god? Because in all the Roman Empire, the butchers would always offer a pig or chicken or goat or whatever it was to some deity before they killed it and butchered it. And so when you went to the Roman marketplace, Paul speaks about eat what's sold in the shambles, asking no questions for conscience sake. The shambles meant the flea market. And that's in the Bible. He says, don't ask questions. In other words, if you're going to go buy a goat or sheep, they're clean animals. In the marketplace, don't ask, was this offered to Apollo? Was this offered to Mercury? He says, don't ask about it. You'll pray over it and God will bless it. It had nothing to do with the content of the meat, whether what kind of animal it was. It had to do with, was it offered to an idol? And that's really the big issue in the New Testament. None of the New Testament writers ate unclean food. Peter, when an unclean sheet came down in Acts chapter 10, God said, arise and eat. He said, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And three times a vision comes down, Peter never takes anything out of the sheet and eats it. He knows it means something else. And Peter later said, describing that vision, God has shown me, through the vision, not to call any man unclean, because the Jews thought the Gentiles were unclean.
Right.
So, okay. Hey, you know, we do have a lesson on what the Bible says about clean and unclean food, and we'll be happy to send you a copy of that. And your aunt can look at it. It's a book called Hogs and Other Hazards. Hogs and Other Hazards. I think you'll enjoy that, by Joe Cruz. Call the resource number, 800-835-6747, and we'll send that to you, Becky. Okay, time to talk with Vicki, calling from Grants Pass, Oregon. Vicki, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Doug. How are you this evening?
Very well. How about you?
Great. God is good. I have a question I need clarification on.
Okay.
Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
Okay. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, do you want me to dive in, or did you have something else about that?
No, that was it.
Okay. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus outlines the history of the church that they would go through in the prophecy of the seven churches. Starts
right.
out with the church of Ephesus, and it ends with the church of Laodicea. Just before you get the last age of the church is the church of Laodicea. It talks about the church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. And
right.
the Lord basically is telling that church, you know what? This age of the church is not going to have to go through the great tribulation because you have kept my faith. The age of the church of Philadelphia, it's going on through the time of like John Wesley and George Whitefield. There was a great revival of missionary work, Bible societies, missionaries were going around the world. And that was the age of brotherly love in the Christian church. They had come out of the dark ages back into the light of God's word. And so he said, look, you're not the generation of the church. You're not the age of the church that's going to go from the great trial that will come upon all the earth.
Okay,
and he said, I'll keep you from that.
So we are in the Laodicea.
We're living in the last age of the church, the age of Laodicea, that is going to be able to
go through it.
Face it. Yeah, but you know, we don't need to be afraid of the seven last plagues. The children of Israel were in Egypt when those 10 plagues fell on them. We're reading through this with our kids right now in worship. And it's wonderful how God preserved them through all of those plagues. Even though it struck the Egyptians, God's people were protected. The seven plagues in Revelation, God will protect us.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, and I really appreciate all your wonderful wealth of information that God has given you.
Well, the more I study, the more I know I don't know. But I sure appreciate your confidence, Vicki. And God bless you. Hey, and you would really enjoy, I think, our Amazing Facts Bible Study course if you go to the website and just sign up there. You can go to BibleUniverse.com, BibleUniverse.com, and sign up for our free studies. Anybody listening can do that. Talking next with Joan, who's calling from New York, New York. That's where I used to live, Joan, listening on WMCA. And your question.
Thank you, Pastor Doug. Thanks for taking my call. You mentioned earlier that the second beast in Revelation 13 is the United States. And the Revelation 13 basically says that the second beast is a man. So I wanted to know, who do you identify as the man in the second part of Revelation 13? And if whoever you identify, does his Hebrew name add up to 666? Because Revelation 13:18 says that his number is going to be 666. And if not, are there any current or potential leaders anywhere in the world whose Hebrew name adds up to 666?
Wow, you've asked a lot of questions. All right, I tell you what, I won't be able to answer all of them. I will try and cover some of that. But whatever I don't cover, please do request the free study we're offering tonight on the USA and Bible prophecy. We'll send it to you free, and nobody will come bang on your door and bother you. So, and by the way, that number one more time is 800-835-6747. Now, you said in The Second Beast is a Man. I would respectfully disagree. I do believe the number is the number of a man that you find in the last part of chapter 13. But the beasts in the Bible that you find always represented political religious powers. For instance, if you look where you first start seeing this in Daniel chapter 7, it talks about these beasts that come up out of the sea. And later the angel comes and tells Daniel, these beasts represent four kingdoms. And then when you read in Revelation 17, it talks about this beast with seven heads and 10 horns. And it says that these seven heads represent 10 kings, and the horns represent kings in the kingdoms. So when you see these beasts, like if we think of the bear, what country do you think of? You there, Joan?
Yeah, yes, I'm here.
When you say a bear, what country comes to your mind?
Perhaps Russia.
Exactly.
Russia.
Yeah. If you said, you know, if you said an eagle, what country do you think of?
United States.
All right. It's beasts used to represent different kingdoms and powers. And so the second beast that comes up out of the earth, it's not a man coming up out of the earth. It's talking about a kingdom that would arise out of the land. And when the United States came into power, right about the time that the Roman power was losing its influence in Europe, America was born as a country and people came here for religious freedom. It was born like a lamb, people seeking freedom, freedom of the Word of God. But in the end, something happens, and we're in that transition right now. Will there be a man at the head of this beast? Yes. But the initial beast is speaking of a political power. See what I'm saying?
If the beast then is the United States, shouldn't the Hebrew name for United States add up to 666?
Well, not necessarily Hebrew.
God has given us specific pointers that we should use to identify the beast, so that there would be no confusion whatsoever. And I think that, you know, based on the Bible, I sort of want to see 666. And you know, since this part of the Bible is written in Hebrew, then I'm assuming that it would be the Hebrew name.
Well, actually, this part of the Bible is written in Greek.
Okay, so then it would be the Greek, you know.
There is a name.
And it states add up to 666.
There is a name that in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, all three languages of the Bible, keep in mind, above the head of Jesus when he was crucified, they put his title in three languages. In three languages, it said, this is the King of the Jews, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. The Bible has largely been written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Of course, Hebrew and Aramaic. And so I'd like, by the way, let me give you a little amazing fact about 666. The Roman numerals, you remember Roman numerology?
Yes.
When you add up all the Roman numerals, there's only six of them. You got I, V, X, D, C. You add up all the Roman numerals, it comes to 666. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like D is 500, M is 1,000. That's where you get the word millennium. C, that's where you get century. C is 100. The V is 10. No, I'm sorry, V is 5. X is 10. And the I is 1. You add those up and look at, you'd find out what that comes to. It's, by the way, that was the counting system for the Roman Empire. Add up their main decimals and it comes up to 666. There's a lot of things. Matter of fact, there's a website I'd like to encourage you to go to. It's simply called 666 Truth. 666 Truth. If you or anybody goes there, we're going to tell you about what that number means and what the name is. Okay? And I'll send you that study guide on American prophecy. If when you call, you also ask for the study guide on the Mark of the Beast, that's more specifically what you're asking. Yeah, thank you very much for your question, Joan. We're going to try and get a few more in here and talk to Barrett. Is that how you say that? Listening from San Diego, California on KPRZ.
Hi, Pastor Doug.
Hi, how are you doing? Is that Brett?
All right. I wanted to concur with the earlier caller, Mike or Mark, that said he thinks Christ might not be returning for several millennia.
Okay.
I agree with him. I can give sound reasons why. I'm sitting here trying to find the verse in the Bible. I couldn't find it where Jesus said it will be as in the days of Noah.
Yeah. Matthew 24, Luke chapter 17, and you can look in Mark 13. There's three places where he alludes to the days of Noah and the days of Lot.
Well, I was just Sodom looking at Mark where he said it will be the beginning of birth pains. Well, the birth pains of a woman, they start to increase and then they subside. And then they increase more intensely and then they subside. And they do this over and over until the baby is born.
Right.
Well, that's why so many generations think Christ is returning real soon, because the birth pains increase, but then they subside. And we're watching increasing birth pains right now globally, because the world, the first generation to see the global polarization against Christianity simultaneously globally. So that's very exciting. That's a major birth pain. But Jesus said it will be as in the days of Noah. And Pastor Doug, in the days of Noah, there were millions of people that were 600, 700, 800, 900 years old. So some of the more recent interpretations of the passages where Jesus said that are that medical science will have advanced so that lifespans last for centuries, and there will be people that are 600, 700, 800, 900 years old
when
Christ returns.
We need to read the verse in context. By the way, let me tell you, that verse is Matthew 24, verse 37 and 38. And when Christ refers to the days of Noah, he's talking about moral conditions. If you read in Genesis, it says, in the days of Noah, the thoughts of men's hearts were only evil continually, and there was violence in the land. And then he talks about the days of Lot. And in the days of Lot, they were not living 900 years. In the days of Lot, there was great moral decadence. And not only was there, you know, rampant homosexuality, that was obvious from conditions there, but there was just a lot of idle worldliness. And so when you look at the violence, the moral degradation, and then Jesus said, in the days of Noah and Lot, when the end came, it was a sudden surprise. He's emphasizing that it'll be like a thief, it'll be a surprise. He's not saying people are going to start living 900 years again before he comes back.
No, but that was the general lifespans were centuries then. That's where we get these bones that look like they're Neanderthal. But also, the world is going to be saying, where is his appearing? And nobody's saying that. Everybody's expecting him to return.
Oh, wait a second. No, I just came back from Australia, and people, they're all laughing. They're scoffing, exactly like Peter said, saying, chapter 3 of 2 Peter, where is the promise of his coming? A lot of people most of the people in the world are kind of saying, oh, he's not coming soon. That sounds like this is what you're saying, too.
Yes. He could return before we're finished talking. But all the disciples thought he was going to return in their generation, and every generation since then has thought that. I think that we will know the season, and I really don't think he's going to return now. I think that...
Now, you heard what I said to the other caller,
yeah.
Brett, that there are some things in this generation no other generation could come near claiming. You know, for 6,000 years of man's history, the most dangerous things they had were spears and swords and bows and arrows. And
Yeah.
And now you look at the devastating weapons and the chemical weapons and the biological weapons and
well, when you read Revelation, the book of Revelation, the whole planet is clearly consciously and astutely against Jesus Christ himself in the person.
Well, you know what?
The world is deceived right now. They don't even believe Jesus Christ.
When the people receive the mark of the beast, they are going to think they're serving God. Christ said the hour is coming when those who serve you will think they're serving God. So those who worship the beast, he's not going to say, hey, let's join the church of the devil. Those that worship the beast, they're going to think they're joining God.
Well, I pray I'm wrong. I do pray I'm wrong regularly.
Well, I think you can be pretty confident that the Lord is coming soon, and
I pray so.
Most of the world is, I think, rejecting the truth on these things. Hey, thank you for your question, Brett, and again, we'll be happy to send you that study guide talking about the ultimate deliverance, where it deals with modern signs of the second coming. Anybody that would like to read that, you'd really appreciate it. I'm going to talk next with Malik, in listening to WMCA. Calling from New York City. Did I get your name right?
It's Malik.
Malik, okay. And your question tonight?
Well, I have a nephew. He's about 8 years old now, and he's starting to become a little bit more familiar with the Bible and everything. And, you know, he asked me a question. He understands, you know, the power that God has and, you know, everything. But he's trying to figure out, I guess he puts in his word, how can God let evil happen?
Oh, hey, I'm glad you asked that question.
You know, so I'm trying to basically explain that to him.
Is he listening right now?
No, he's not, but I definitely give him your
You'll pass it on to him.
Yeah.
All right, well, first of all, God makes his intelligent creatures free with a free will. He wants us to love him, but you cannot force love. And so God even makes creatures that might choose not to love him. Unfortunately, among the highest and most powerful of God's creatures was an angel called Lucifer, that rebelled. And when he rebelled, God could have zapped him with lightning, but God doesn't want us to serve him because he's going to destroy us if we don't listen. He wants us to serve him because we love him. Mm-hmm. And so God allowed this angel to roam through the universe and try to recruit other angels, which he did, one-third of the angels. He basically gives them freedom. Like in America, people have freedom to say what kind of government they want. They have freedom to talk about the different candidates. There's freedom of speech.
Yeah, of course.
And so this angel went through the universe, and he not only recruited one-third of the other angels, it says this in Revelation chapter 12, but he found planet Earth, Adam and Eve, decided to listen to the devil when he said, eat from this forbidden tree, and God said, don't eat from it. And basically, they surrendered the dominion of our world to Lucifer. So the Lord is brokenhearted that this planet really is in rebellion. That's why there's evil in this world. Now, we have a DVD, Amazing Facts, worked on for about 2 years called Cosmic Conflict.
Uh-huh.
And we will, if you just go to the website, you can watch the trailer on that. It's cosmicconflict.org. And you can even go to YouTube, and I think it'll show you the trailer right there. Just Cosmic, type in Cosmic Conflict into Google or Yahoo, and it'll take you there. And it's a DVD. It's about 42 minutes that goes through the whole story of why this rebellion happened. And something that, how old is your nephew?
He'll be 8 in a month.
Perfect. He'll understand it. Hey, we're going to have to run to another call before we get out of time, okay? I appreciate your question. Malik. All right, talking next with Dale. And we'll just maybe have a couple more minutes. Dale, you got a quick question?
Yes, sir. How are you? I think your biblical knowledge is impeccable.
Well, I got a lot to learn, but thank you.
My question is, if a Christian has a problem with a certain sin, let's say, for instance, sexual sins, and he repented and went back to the problem that he had or she had or whatever the case may be, and this time the Christian decided that, hey, I'm repenting for real this time, I want to turn around, will God, which I believe he will, but will God forgive the Christian, and if so, will God still allow the consequence of the sin to occur even though he or she has been forgiven? I guess the question is, how many times will God forgive a Christian?
All right, well, you did ask a question also about consequences. David, who we would call a Christian, in other words, he believed in Christ, he's a prophet, he fell in that area of sexual temptation, as did Samson, and as did Solomon. And we expect to see all three of them in heaven, according to Hebrews chapter 11. But there were consequences in all three cases for their messing up. It hurt them, it hurt their families, and it hurt the Lord. Now, you know, there's varying degrees of sin. And, you know, sometimes young people get where they shouldn't be. And Paul talks about fleeing, 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. When people are living with sexual impurity, they don't feel right. They feel impure. And it hinders their prayers, and they know it. And so there's consequences for every sin. But will he forgive? Of course he will. We're, you know, if God only forgives sins that we repent of one time and we're never allowed to ask a second time, we're all in hot water. Because you know, everybody struggles with a variety of temptations, whether it's overeating, I don't know how many times I've fell in that area, to gossiping. And I mean, there's all kinds of sin. And we need to pray that God will sanctify us and we see growth. But if a person gets discouraged when they sin, and I don't want to underemphasize, some sins are much more severe. Obviously, sexual sin, there's generally someone else involved, and you're hurting them and yourself.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's a little different from overeating. I didn't want to minimize
it. Right.
But of course, God, if a person genuinely repents, God does forgive. And, but the consequences don't always evaporate.
Okay.
Hey, I appreciate it, Dale. I hope that helps a little bit. And they're telling me I got 1 minute, friends. I won't do that to anybody. If you did not get your call in tonight, forgive me. And by God's grace, we'll do this again in a couple of weeks. I will be in England through this weekend. And we appreciate your tuning in to the Streams of Light program. Once again, if you want to find out more about that, simply go to amazingfacts.tv, amazingfacts.tv. You'll see all the information on the Streams of Light program. And be praying for Pastor Doug and Pastor Ross while we're there. We'll be broadcasting around the world on both Three Angels Broadcasting and on Lifestyle Television, as well as streaming on the internet. So everybody can participate. If the times don't work for you the first time, go to the amazingfacts.tv website and you'll be able to download the revival meetings. Well, friends, we've loved spending this time with you. God bless. Remember, Jesus is the truth that will set you free.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Journey back through time to the center of the universe. Discover how a perfect angel transformed into Satan, the arch-villain. The birth of evil. A rebellion in heaven. A mutiny that moved to earth. Behold the creation of a beautiful new planet and the first humans. Witness the temptation in Eden. Discover God's amazing plan to save his children. This is a story that involves every life on earth. Every life. The cosmic conflict. If God is good, if God is all-powerful, if God is love, then what went wrong? Available now on DVD. CosmicConflict.com.
If you've enjoyed this broadcast and would like to know more about what the Bible teaches, sign up for the Amazing Facts free Bible course. Go to www.bibleuniverse.com or call 1-800-835-6747 and ask to enroll in our free Bible course. 1-800-835-6747.